News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now we're joined by Simon Coveney, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence. Minister, before we get to Brexit, can I just ask you your take on what happened at the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to yours, Shane. You know, I mean, politicians make mistakes. Politicians don't always get things right. I'm talking about mainstream politicians that are elected. But we are trying to tell people the truth, and we're trying to protect people and save lives through this pandemic, and we're working night and day to do that. And we're, of course, open for criticism and questioning all the time. But, you know, some of the conspiracy theories that are being used to inspire hatred and anger and division that drove the motivation behind the kind of thuggery that we saw over the weekend, that the guards had to handle in a professional manner, but in really difficult circumstances. You know, we've got to call that out for what it is, and hope that most right-thinking people reject it out of hand. Because these are people who are trying to recruit sometimes vulnerable people, but people who are struggling with the pandemic because their businesses aren't open. They may be stressed. Many people are. This has been a very, very difficult year for so many people. But we've got to close this out now in the next few months. And we can do that. We have a vaccination program now that's very much up and running and accelerating. And by midsummer, the vast majority of people who want to be vaccinated will be vaccinated, and we will be moving to a much better place in the context of this pandemic.
Just finally on this, Minister, reports today that the Taoiseach, your colleague Leo Varadkar, is going to write to the digital media companies to raise concerns over their platforms being used to plan events that go against public health laws. Do you think that those digital media companies need to do more to stop themselves being used as a way of disseminating misinformation and also the organisation of these meetings?
I do. I mean, I think digital media companies need to do more in a number of areas, whether it's bullying, whether it's targeting people with hate speech, or whether it's allowing their platforms to be used to facilitate efforts to undermine the state or to create significant risk in the context of public health concerns. I mean, these are extraordinarily powerful organizations that make huge sums of money. They're welcome in Ireland, and we provide a platform for global reach in many ways for many of these platforms. But they do have a responsibility as well, and government needs to work with them to make sure that they are following through on that responsibility.
Okay, now you're here to talk to us about Brexit. I suppose many of our listeners would have thought, oh, is this all not sorted? But there is a key date coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, look, and I mean, just to all the listeners, can I say, you know, many people thought that, you know, Brexit was in the rearview mirror at this stage, and listening to me again talking about Brexit is not something that I'm sure many people want to hear, but I'm afraid they need to hear it if they're businesses, because, you know, if you look at the numbers, you know, over the last couple of years, about 90,000 Irish businesses have traded with the UK, just over 80,000 of those importing products from the UK. And then nearly 12,000 companies exporting to the UK. And it's the 12,000 that are exporting to the UK that now need to be very much aware of the changes that are going to be coming at the end of this month. So on the 1st of April, the UK's changes in terms of what they require of companies exporting to the UK will actually take effect. So what happened on the 1st of January is that Brexit essentially bit for the first time, and anybody selling product out of the UK into Ireland or into the rest of the EU had to cope with customs checks, sanitary and phytosanitary checks, delays in ports, more paperwork, and all of the bureaucracy that unfortunately comes with Brexit. But products going the other way haven't had those checks yet, because the UK weren't quite ready on the 1st of January, and they said, look, we'll start our process on the 1st of April, and we'll essentially exempt companies from the checks until then. So they're doing it in a staggered way. The first checks are the 1st of April, and then In June, they're introducing a second series of checks linked to customs. So what Irish companies will have to deal with in a month's time is essentially if they're selling animal origin products, so anything to do with food or animal products.
Yeah. Which is a lot of our exports.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just to give you a context, I mean, we sell about 5.5 billion euros worth of food and drink into the UK every year. So it's a lot. There's a lot of SMEs involved in that.
Yeah.
A lot of family businesses involved in it. And all of a sudden now they're going to have a lot more to think about in terms of what they need to do to be able to successfully send product on a ferry, which is the vast majority of product, into a UK port and into a UK purchaser.
Is it going to get messy for them, do you think?
Well, I mean, look, we don't have full clarity yet from the UK side, but we certainly know that they'll need to have pre-notification before they send product to the UK. They will then have to have an export health certificate, which will have to be signed off by a vet in Ireland. Most of those vets will be the Department of Agriculture, but some will be local authority vets as well. And there may be, for some products, HSE involvement or the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority involvement if it's seafood. Even if they're not selling to the UK, but they're selling through the UK, in other words, using the UK as a land bridge to sell into France or Germany or Belgium or any other market on mainland EU, again, there'll need to be pre-notification for what's called transit movements of goods, which again is more paperwork that people could do without, but they need to know is going to be part of business.
For more information,
there's also going to be documentary checks for goods arriving into the UK, but also goods traveling via GB to the rest of the EU single market.
Okay.
Perhaps most importantly, fresh meat, fresh prepared meat, like mince meat, sausages, or other fresh meat will essentially be prohibited. Being sold into the to GB. So you know, this is a big deal. Companies, there's lots and lots of information and support there for people, but they do need to look for it. And we obviously will be pushing out as much information as we can over the next few weeks, so that people understand. A lot of companies will be prepared already. But I mean, this is essentially the second half of Brexit preparation. The first half was to prepare for the paperwork on goods coming from GB into Ireland.
Okay.
From the end of this month, you're going to have to start dealing with the paperwork going the other way.
All right,
which company needs to get
ready. And I know there's more information on gov.ie/Brexit. Just before you go, if I can ask you very, very briefly, Adam Harris, the chief executive of Autism Charity, as I am, and of course, brother of your colleague, Simon, has been very critical of the government for failing to get children with special educational needs in mainstream schools back into school today. He said basically they've been sacrificed to appease the teaching unions. And we've heard from parents this morning who are saying in some schools 2 and 3 kids is all we're talking about, but they're not going back to school. Have they been sacrificed just to appease the unions?
Well, you're hitting on a very sore point for me personally, because I have extended family that are in this very frustrating situation. And of course, Norma Foley and the teaching unions have done a lot of work together to get special needs schools back and to get special needs classes back. But what hasn't happened, unfortunately, is children that need a little bit of extra help through their SNAs and so on in mainstream education and classes that aren't going back today. In the other classes, particularly in primary schools, they're not being facilitated to come back today. Even if they could have been facilitated for an hour or two to prepare for when their class goes back in 2 weeks' time, I think that would have been hugely welcome for parents who want that routine again in the lives of their children. I think it's really unfortunate that that wasn't possible, but I do recognise the pressures that teachers and principals and the Department of Education has been under in recent weeks to try to get to where we are today, which is, and I'm about to walk one of my daughters to school, and many, many parents will be doing that today with relief But I do agree that there are quite a number of families who wish they could be bringing their child that has special needs back as well, but who can't. Let's hope we can get them back as soon as we can.
Simon Coveney, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.